you would, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're going to stay in the Gospels through this season, in between Christmas and Easter at least. Through Advent, we looked at different proclamations about who Jesus was. We saw the proclamation made to Joseph and to Mary and the proclamation from the Old Testament. And today, what I'm going to try to continue that basic theme of these proclamations. So we're not going to be just in the Gospel of John. We'll hop around like we did last year a bit. But we're going to move through the Bible, or through the Gospels, through the story of Jesus, seeing the proclamations of who he is and how he is presented. Today what we're going to look at is John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. Verse 19 tells us, "This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" The main thing that's going on in this passage is a question of who's who. Who's John? What's he doing? And why is he doing it? The question that is put to him is, are you the Messiah? Or are you Elijah? Or are you the prophet? He answers and says, "No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ in Greek. I'm not Elijah, and I'm not the prophet." Well, then, who are you? And there were a lot of people that, and Jesus even later on, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And some of them even said, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist back from the grave." There's this question of who is John? What's he doing? Why is he doing it? And John, further, he is acknowledging that there is a Messiah, that the Messiah is around, that he is here, and yet the Jews, they don't know who it is. There's this question of who is he? Where is he? John knows very basically who he is. When they ask him and say, look, you got to like this. In verse 22, they said to him, "Who are you so that we may give an answer to those who sent us?" Don't you sometimes you're like, look, I've got to give an answer. Would you just give me something so I can go back with an answer? You know, that's kind of when you end up being on the same team with the person you're talking to. That's like if you're in negotiations or the mediator between the negotiations, you start trying to feel like you're on the team with the person you're talking to. Like, look, I got to get something. I got to take it back to them. Why don't you just give me something so I can take it back and we can work your deal out? They kind of place themselves on on his team, or they try to have him be on their team. Look, it's nothing personal here, but we've got to take something back or we'll be in trouble. Would you give us a word that we can take back? And so he tells them, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. And so they ask him, because of that, why are you baptizing? This doesn't seem like it's appropriate for that job. You can cry out in the wilderness without baptizing. Why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ and you're not Elijah and you're not the prophet? And notice he doesn't tell them. He says, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He doesn't tell them why he's baptizing. Notice? It drives me nuts when God and his people don't answer the question straight. How many times in the Bible does somebody ask Jesus something and he doesn't answer it straight? He gives them the answer that they really need. The point here is it doesn't matter what John is doing so much. He is not the focus. They say, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ? He says, well, I baptize with water. But among you stands one whom you don't know. He's coming after me, and the thong of his sandal, I can't even untie it. I'm so unworthy. I'm just baptizing in water. Not exactly the answer they were looking for. We don't know how that conversation ends. All we know is that where it happened, and then the next day, he saw Jesus coming to him. And he cries out, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Earlier, prior to the passage that we read, he had already said, the one who comes after me is of a higher rank because he existed before me. Here he repeats it again. And then in verse 31, he says a really curious thing. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. How is it that John doesn't recognize Jesus? He's at least 6 months his senior from birth. That's why that first is an interesting statement that he made. The one who comes after me is of a higher rank because he existed before me. John was born before Jesus. So he is pointing out this is an eternal person. This is God in the flesh. But how is it that John doesn't know Jesus? Granted, Jesus grew up for a few years in Bethlehem, went down to Egypt, we don't know for how long, and then returned to Nazareth. We don't know about John's life. He grew up or wandered around in the wilderness or spent time in the wilderness. It is possible that even though Mary went and saw Elizabeth when they were both pregnant, that they had no contact other than that. It's possible. Because John says, I didn't recognize him. And that language there in verse 31 is the same word from verse 26. It's the idea to have seen or perceived. Therefore, to know. He doesn't know Jesus because he hadn't seen him. Just like the Jews that came to question him hadn't seen him. The same word is used. He is in the same boat as they are. The whole time he's baptizing, he is calling people to repent, to turn their from their ways and to turn back to God. He is baptizing them in the Jordan. And the whole time he doesn't know who the one is. He just knows there is one who is coming. But he doesn't know who he is. He couldn't pick him up out of a lineup. Says, I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel. The NIV said, for this purpose I came baptizing. Did you ever wonder why John baptized? You know, we know from the book of Acts that the baptism of John is not complete, that those who followed Jesus who had been baptized in John's baptism needed more than that. It seems to be a ceremonial cleansing. Jesus even participates and is baptized, even though he doesn't have any sin. But it seems to be a ceremonial cleansing, this baptism in water. But here in John, verse 31, John tells us the whole reason why he was baptizing. The whole reason why he was out there doing it was so that Jesus might be made known to the people of Israel. That he might be manifested, that he might be seen. John testified saying that he had seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remaining on Jesus. And then he lets us know that God, who had sent him to baptize, had told him, the one on whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove on a person and remaining on him, that one is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So there's a little bit of question in our minds when you think about this compared to Matthew and Luke, the other baptism stories where John knows who Jesus is when he shows up prior to the dove descending. He has that statement of, I baptize you. I have need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me. But here he tells us he didn't know who Jesus was until he saw him. And he didn't really know for sure until he saw the Spirit come down on him. But now in verse 34 he says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Now, prior to Jesus' baptism, he didn't know. He was in the same boat as the other Jews. He didn't know. But at least he knew what to look for. And when he saw him, he let everybody know. Everybody within his range of his voice heard him say, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He saw and he testified. And in fact, this is his entire purpose of being. This is why he is baptizing. I think sometimes we can get so focused on the baptism act that we're doing, not necessarily what we talk about as Baptists as far as our statement of faith, but that was his job. That was his ministry, you might say. That was the work he was doing in devotion to the Lord. But what was the purpose of it? I think sometimes we can get focused on the work we're doing for the Lord, whether it be collecting food to feed people, whether it can be teaching, whether it can be opening up a building and closing a building. We can do all sorts of things in devotion to the Lord, singing, making music, teaching Bible studies, building houses, going on mission trips. We can do a lot of things in our devotion and worship of God. And that's what I'd like us to think about as we think about John's purpose of baptizing. His purpose of baptizing wasn't to get 1,000 Israelites baths. That wasn't his purpose. It was what he was doing. He was baptizing them in the Jordan, and they were ceremonially cleansing themselves in preparation for the coming Messiah. But that even wasn't the point. If all he did was get them all baptized and ready, it wouldn't have been enough. His purpose was so that Jesus might be made known. His purpose was in baptizing all these people for however many years he did it, was so that when the time came when Jesus would show up, everybody would know who he was. That John would be able to proclaim and to point to him and say, There he is! That was the whole point. In fact, as after that has happened, John's still working and he's still baptizing, and his disciples come to him and say, Hey, all the people are going with Jesus. And John basically says, Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. He must increase, I must decrease. My job's over. It's all downhill from here. Not really downhill, you know, but ministry-wise, impact-wise, from then on, fewer and fewer people followed John. And he had no problem with that because they weren't supposed to follow him in the first place. He knew what his role was and he knew what his purpose was. He was baptizing so that people could know who Jesus was. So that people could see him when he arrived. And in fact, the very next thing, in the next couple of verses after 34, he's with some of his disciples, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," when he sees Jesus walking by. And those disciples leave John, and they start following Jesus instead. That's his purpose. That's what he was supposed to do. That on a human standpoint, that can hurt, can it? I wonder what that felt like for John when he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And these two guys that were with him for we don't know how long, they slept with him, they cooked for him maybe, they were with him in his daily activities. Verse 35 says, John was standing with two of his disciples. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. In that instant, they stopped being John's disciples and they became Jesus' disciples because they followed him. And that's what a disciple does. He follows the person that they're discipled with. I wonder how that felt to John in his heart. I mean, on the one hand, he knows that's what they're supposed to do, that we're all supposed to start following Jesus. But on the other hand, I can't help but think it had to hurt at least some. They were following him, and now they're following Jesus. Later on, he even starts to doubt who Jesus is because Jesus isn't doing the kind of things he thought the Messiah was going to do. And so he even sends some of his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the Messiah, or should we look for somebody else?" He even doubted, even though he had seen and testified. There were times when he said, "Are you sure you're the Messiah? You're not doing what I thought the Messiah would do." And I wonder, all those doubts and those things that he's dealing with, how many times did it hurt him to have people stop coming to hear him speak, coming to be baptized by him? They started following Jesus. Hopefully he remembered it wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to make Jesus known to Israel, that he might be manifested. That idea of perceiving, to have seen, to know. The Jews didn't know him. John says twice in verse 31 and verse 33 that he did not know him, but he knew what to look for. And when he saw what God had told him the Messiah would do, or what would be done to the Messiah, Spirit come upon him, he started proclaiming. I see sometimes where a lot of Christian organizations, whether they be concerned with housing or feeding the poor or building buildings or whatever it might be that we can get into, a lot of times we get to the point where we think that that itself is an ends and is a means, is the end in itself. You know, that's enough. Oh, if we just feed them, you know, we're doing some good. But we got to remember that the purpose for doing these things isn't just to feed a belly, because a belly can go hungry again. It's not just to put a roof over a head, because that doesn't last. We're supposed to be imparting something of the eternal, to make Jesus known. But how often can we get so focused on what we're doing that we forget what our purpose is? I've often heard it said that John came to baptize so that people would repent. You know, he's preparing the way in the wilderness. The imagery is that God is going to restore the wasteland. Make it big and wide, the highway for him. Prepare it that he might be able to show up and do some work. But ultimately, John's role, why he baptizes, an answer to the Pharisees. He doesn't answer them, but he lets everybody else know the next day. Why does he baptize? So you might know who Jesus is. Why do we work? Why do we preach or teach or share? Hopefully it's to make Jesus known. Why do we greet? Why do we do all the different types of things we do? Down deep, to make Jesus known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we desire to make you known. We desire to make Jesus known. To share, not just wisdom for how to live our lives, a desire to make the sojourn more bearable. But Lord, we desire to make Jesus known. We pray that we would know our purpose as well as John did. His activity was baptizing, but that was not his purpose. Lord, we have a lot of activities that we can be a part of. We pray that we would do them in a way so that we might proclaim Jesus Christ. We pray that we would work, that we would go to school, that we would speak, that we would act, not just in ways that would give credit to our families or to ourselves, but so that we might make Jesus known, that we would not dishonor his name. Lord, we thank you that you have made him known to us. Everyone is equal in the fact that we don't know who Jesus is until it's proclaimed, until he's proclaimed to us and shown to us who he is. And there are many people in the world today and in our community today, on our streets today, maybe even in our houses, they don't know who he is. He's among them, but they don't know who he is. Father, may it be our purpose to make him manifest, to make him known. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.